This is a content warning for the Macabre Myths podcast. There will be swearing, there will be creepy stories, there will be adult content. If you are a kid, this is not the podcast for you. You'll have to get your childhood trauma from a more age-appropriate source. As always, we recommend the book Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Welcome to Macabre Myths by the Hex and Texans. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Heather, here to bring you strange and unusual stories from around the world.
And this time, we're on the Shetland Islands.
Yes. So, I would just like to say welcome back.
Yes, welcome back.
After our
little break.
Our start to season two, which is super exciting.
It is exciting to have a season two.
I know.
I feel so official.
I know. So, I have been like all about the British Isles this week because I binge watched Outlander season four, which is now on Netflix.
I have not yet. So Outlander and Magicians both dropped their latest seasons on Netflix at exactly the same time. And now I know which show I love ever so slightly more because I went with Magicians.
Well, I've never watched that one, so obviously I went with Outlander.
You should watch Magicians. It is good.
So I am now wrapping up Schitt's Creek, which I had never seen.
Also excellent.
Now become one of those people who is, I love David.
I love David so much. Yes. I don't know how you watch that show and don't come away with David as your favorite.
Yeah, I don't know either. He's hilarious and he is mine and I love him.
Yes.
So, yes. But because of Outlander, I have been like all about it. And then I saw something and it was like men in kilts and it's some of the actors.
Yes.
And I am like, I tried to renew my
like next weekend.
Yeah. Except because I had already been a member of Stars when I was like, yes, I want $5 Stars. They were like, psych.
Sorry.
You have to sign into your regular account and renew your full price membership. I was like, well, then I will never see men in kilts.
Well, so it seems like Stars and Netflix has a pretty close relationship. So part of me is hoping it'll just come out on Netflix in
3 years.
A year or whatever. Right. Yeah.
Yes. So I was super excited that we decided to go with this from the Shetland Islands. And I feel like we've talked about some of the folklore from there before, but I wanted to go kind of briefly into like the history of the Shetland Islands.
Yes, do it.
So the Shetland Islands are a subarctic archipelago from the Northern Isles of Scotland. So they are basically in between Great Britain, the Faroe Islands, and Norway, which I think creates a really cool pocket of unique culture because yes. It's in between all of these different places. There is evidence of human life in that area, starting really in the Mesothelic period. And it also has a lot of Scandinavian influence just because of its location alone. So It really didn't become part of the British Isles until 1707 and had just kind of been its own thing, creating its own culture and trading with a bunch of different countries until that time. After 1707, when it became part of the United Kingdom, trade with Europe really kind of slowed down because it just kind of came straight to the mainland. So one of the big parts of the community and the economy has always been fishing. And it still is to this day. Mackerel make up more than half of the fish that the island is responsible for catching. They also have access to haddock, cod, herring, monkfish, shellfish. So they have a huge variety. And then in the 1970s, you had oil discovered in the North Sea. And so that also heavily influences island economy, their job structure, because they are right there.
Right.
The other major industry for the island, and it's something that's really suffered with COVID, has been tourism.
Yes.
Especially from cruise ships. There have also been some fictional mystery series and other book series written about the Shetland Islands, and that has prompted a ton of people to come and like check it out because their favorite characters are solving mysteries in the area.
Right.
2020 and 2021, they've been trying to figure out what they can do to try to boost the local economy because your cruise ship bringing almost 100,000 people to the island in a season is not really happening.
Is not happening right now.
Right. Yep. So the local life is a really interesting blend of Scottish and Norse heritage. They even have a festival that I am now going to horribly butcher, called the Uphelia Fire Festival. So I apologize in advance, or after the fact, I guess, since I just said it horribly. So this festival that they have in the Shetland Islands is actually pretty epic sounding, because they take a replica of a longship and they set it on fire. And then amazing. They send basically what looks like 1,000 people marching in a torchlit procession through the streets.
I love it.
Yeah, it sounds phenomenally cool. It is usually held in January. It is, again, one of their big touristy things. They have several other festivals off and on throughout the year, but, like, that is the big one.
Right.
They also have a really unique dialect and well-known breeds of kind of specialized animals, like dogs, ponies, cows, sheep, goose, and ducks. They even had a pig breed, but mm-hmm. it's been extinct since the 1930s, and now I have never wanted to know more in my life about pigs. Why? Right. How did this thing become extinct?
Right.
It's a pig. So...
Well, so that's the thing with, like, heritage breeds. It's actually a big push among small hobby farmers, basically, is conserving heritage breeds, because you have the large agricultural industry come in and they pick the breeds that they like. So that's why, you know, pretty much the chickens that are grown for meat are all one breed of chicken, the big white ones. The pigs that are grown for meat are all the same breed of pig. So people who are still trying to make money at farming have no choice but to start raising those types of breeds, because it's what the industry has deemed standard. So smaller farmers, especially in recent times, have started trying to save these heritage breeds. That's actually, my chickens are considered a rare breed. They're 55 flowery hen. Not that I have 55 chickens, I have 2. They put a number in the name to make you sound like a crazy person.
You're a chicken hoarder with your 2 chickens.
With my 2 chickens. But it's a fairly rare breed. And so that's like a thing. People will find, like, rare breed lists, and then they'll try and... Because the one problem you run into is if the population gets so small, it's almost impossible to have a healthy breeding program. Mm,
true. I know that they've been doing this with some rabbits.
Yes.
And there is also a cattle breed in Texas that has an entire ranch, and I'm pretty sure A&M's vet program dedicated to trying to figure out what's up. So
Yeah. Only in Texas.
Right. Well, and there was something about them, like, you can even donate money to the research to try to help save it and figure out, like, what's going on with it.
Yeah.
And they ran a program about it, because I think that the ranch is not, like, I mean, it's Texas, right? You get in a car and drive for, like, 30 hours and you're still in this state.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't seem like it was that far away, like, maybe in the panhandle or a little bit south of here, right?
Uh-huh.
And I remember looking at them feeling like they should be the most amazing-looking cow ever, and they look just exactly like a cow.
Just like a cow. Yeah. Yeah. I feel bad for those, because they are still, like, a specialized breed, but they don't look... I don't look like a specialized
breed. Yeah, like, I don't
breed.
Know what I was expecting. I was, like, in it for the wow factor, and I was like...
You're like, oh, you look like a cow. Yes. Like any other cow.
Like, yeah, literally any other one.
You're
yeah.
expecting, like, the wee Highland coos.
Yes,
and it
I
just,
was.
Like, looks like a normal cow.
Yeah, or, like, a longhorn or something, and that was not what I got. So
right.
It was mostly, it looked very similar to a Black Angus, and I was just like, well... Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I hope that you make it, but I'm not impressed with your aesthetic. So
the one nice thing about heritage plants, sorry not to, like, keep us on this tangent for a little longer, but the one nice thing about heritage plants is it's a lot easier to maintain heritage plants, because somebody halfway across the country goes, I would like to help also maintain these heritage plants, and you just mail them a pack of seeds. It's a lot harder to do that with animals.
That's true. Yes. You know, in thinking about, like, the rabbits that I want.
Yes.
Because one of the big Christmas discussions that we had in this house was adding numbers to our animal herd through rabbits.
Yes.
And It has quickly escalated into Peter Rabbit-themed garden areas outside, but the breed is still very, like, up in the air. And yes. I want two females because I don't want babies, but right. I do want babies.
I know.
Right, yeah. But I don't want to be responsible for rehoming the babies or selling the babies and then feeling like you won't love them like I will love them, and now I have 80 rabbits. So I'm not doing that.
It's so easy to go down that path.
Yeah, no. So, and it makes me upset thinking, like, I'm in all of these rabbit groups now, and a lot of them are selling them for meat, and I'm like, to eat? I am so upset about that. So,
oh no.
I just can't. Definitely yeah. would not do. I just, no. And then I was reading one of those, like, guilty Sarah McLachlan dollar a day support an animal thing.
Oh, yes.
And they were like, rabbits are usually turned over to your local animal shelter right after Easter. And I was like, I guess I don't know what to do.
What do I do with this information?
Yeah, like, do I go, I don't know what to do. Do I rescue yeah. this rabbit? Do I, like, wait and get the one that I wanted so that I can, like, hand raise this thing? Like,
mm-hmm. I know when I had rats and I had guinea pigs for a while, once you already have the setup, it's not that hard to, like, add in a few more. You add in a little more space. You know, you've already got all the gear you need. So when I was trying to find Gigi, my little black cat, I was looking through the shelters and, like, these cute, adorable little rats and guinea pigs kept popping up. And I was like, I need to adopt. And they're cheap. They're so cheap. They're like $10. They're like $10 for a pet. And I'm like, ah, I need them all. All of them.
No.
I know.
But I think that my biggest fear with adopting an adult, and this sounds horrible, is that we had a rabbit when I was growing up and he was an asshole. And so I am terrified that I will get an adult rabbit and it will be like, surprise, bitch. You thought I was sweet. I'm really an asshole.
I'm really a jackass.
Yes.
I'm going to scream every time you try and touch me.
God. So, yeah.
And rabbit screams are the worst. My God.
Yeah, it makes me have the hard feelings. So I don't know what we're going to do there. But, yes. We're looking a couple years down the road, so it's like nice and safe.
Yes.
But.
Well, maybe you could get a Shetland rabbit. I'm sure they have one.
They probably do. So the other really cool thing about the Shetland Islands is that they have a really cool, very rich folklore history.
Yes.
So some of the best known, and I think that we honestly should go into a lot of detail about these in other episodes. I'm just going to briefly
Agreed.
Touch on them here. Some of the best well known are the Trows, which sound an awful lot like the She or the Fair Folk. Because they are a hidden people of the Shetland Islands who are shy, nocturnal, and mischievous enough that they're not exactly welcomed by people living on the islands, but they are tolerated.
Right.
The Tro love music, and it is so well known that they love music on the Shetland Islands because they have their own very rich musical history. That it is not beyond them to kidnap random musicians and make them play at wedding feasts.
Oh, jeez.
So, I wondered, like, I guess they kidnap them and make them play and then return them.
Right, like, that doesn't sound that bad. Like, hey, come play and, like, eat. I mean, I'm assuming you get to eat at the wedding feast if you're playing.
I don't think, depending on the rules, I'm not really sure that I would eat anything, so.
This is fair, right. Like, are we talking full fae rules or?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Don't take anything from them.
But, well, so the whole thing with the Fae, though, is, you know, they give you the food and you eat it and then you're theirs forever. But that's because they don't have, like, an equal exchange. You know, it has to be an exchange for an exchange. But if they were just to kidnap you and force you to play, then they would be in your debt.
True.
So they would have to give you something in exchange for your playing.
I don't know.
I'm just saying I want the feast. Not that I'm a musician worthy of kidnapping, but...
I want the pretty food.
I want the food.
And the lack of student loan debt. If you keep me, your mistake.
Yeah, right? I know. Everybody's like, you know, all the ancient history is like, avoid the Fae. They will keep you forever in their Fae land. And all the millennials are like, sounds great. Where do I sign up?
I saw a hilarious meme and it was talking about, like, put your hands here and all your troubles will disappear. And they were like, don't put your hands there. What if you turn into a deer or a crow or something? And then it was like a drop down and it was basically like, me, puts hands here, turns into crow. Some fairy is like, oh, I told you, haha, you shouldn't put your hands here. Me, feeling an iota of happiness for the first time in my life. Oh my God, this is amazing. Right? Yeah. I was like, eh. Oh, it's so real.
And there it is.
Yeah. The Shetland Islands are also really well known for their Kelpie or water horse lore that can take the shape of ponies or horses, and they live in the little streams. They also have a very rich Selkie history, or the seal folk, that is deeply, deeply embodied in the local lore.
Yes.
Storytelling, not only about the island history, but also the folklore, is actually such an important part of life there that they still have regularly held storytelling events and festivals.
This is awesome. I love this.
Yes. So today we are talking about the wolver, which is just one of the many Shetland Island folklore creatures.
Yes, I'm excited to talk about this one. I will say one of the things I read when I was looking into this, it mentioned that a Norwegian king in 875 annexed the Northern Isles, which comprised of Orkney and Shetland. And I'm just saying, if I was living on Orkney and I found out that Shetland existed and I heard the difference between our folklore, I would be like, well, peace out, Orkney.
So you know how in How to Tame Your Dragon, like everything on the island is horrible and like gray and hard. That is how I picture the Orkney Islands. And then after they get the dragons and everything is really colorful, is how I picture the Shetland Islands. And I'm really sorry, but that is like forever in my brain.
It's true.
On one hand, you have the Neklavi. On the other, you have the wolver. And I will go with the wolver.
I'll go with the wolver any day of the
week. Yes. So, I do want to make a distinction between the wolver and a werewolf very quickly.
Yes.
Because what we're dealing with is two humanoid creatures. The main difference is that the wolver is a humanoid creature found, obviously, in folklore here, who is generally harmless and benevolent and brings you fish and presents and is kind.
Yes.
The main difference is that a werewolf changes into this like mindless wolf creature under the light of a full moon or a curse, depending on what you're looking at. And the intent of the werewolf is typically very malicious.
Right.
The wolver doesn't transform. It just is what it is, usually with like a hairy humanoid body, but the intent is very kind. So wanted to lop that distinction out there.
Yes.
I did find, do you want me to just keep running down my list?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I did find a nice little blurb from Jesse Saxby's The Shetland Traditional Lore. Described the wolver as being a creature like a man with a wolf's head. He had short brown hair all over him. His home was a cave dug out of the side of a steep knoll halfway up a hill. He didn't molest folk if folk didn't molest him. He was fond of catching and eating fish and had a small rock in deep water, which was known to this day as Wolver's Stain. There he would sit fishing stillax and piltax for hour after hour, and he was reported to have frequently left a few fish on the windowsill of some poor body. So from what I could discover or take away from what I had read, the figure doesn't live in like a community of other wolvers necessarily. He kind of is this lone individual with a sincerely kind heart who interacts with humans kind of sparingly, but is kind of a helper. So if you're like wandering around and you're lost, he will help you find a nearby town or village, and he might even go with you so that you don't get lost again.
Yeah.
If he realizes that your family is facing hardship or that you're poor, he would leave food on the windowsills, or he might even bring you a supply of fish. If your family is facing any kind of illness or death, the wolver will be outside of your house to pay respects. If there are any kind of recordings of bad encounters, it is really more of a warning, like, don't be a douchebag, don't treat him badly, because he's a nice guy.
Right, yeah, it seems like any of the bad encounters I heard about were more like somebody started shit with the wolver, and the wolver was just like, no.
So I didn't, did you find, like, stories of it? Because I didn't find any.
I didn't find any specific stories, but that was what I kept coming across was, you know, if you don't start shit with the wolver, the Wolverine Won't Start Shit With You.
So I thought that it was, I found kind of mixed things. Some acted like there was only ever one single Wolver and that he was responsible for like all of the fish being mysteriously left on windowsills. And then other sources seemed to kind of indicate that there were various Wolvers that all kind of lived alone and they had various rocks that all became Wolver's stains. Like if a Wolver sat on a rock, suddenly that was now a Wolver's stain. So it was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I came across the same thing where some of them made it sound like it was just one, you know, kind of like the Nuklavi where there was one. And then other sources made it sound like there were several, but they just never, it's not like they interacted.
Right. And so I think that one of the hardships is that there are not a lot of written sources talking about where he came from. Or kind of what his deal was. So
right. Yeah, I even read one that was talking about how, you know, there's so little written about them that they're always said to be fishing, but we have no idea where their fishing gear came from. Like, did they make it? Did they steal it? Nobody knows.
Right. And then I'm kind of like, are we doing the, like, grizzly bear with our bare hands kind of fishing? Like,
right.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
I also found that there is some, I guess, evidence or folklore reports that indicate that the wolver evolved from actual wolves. Like, the Celts felt like they came from wolves.
Yeah, I ran into that, too, that it was a pretty strong Celtic belief that it was the, like, in-between of wolf and man.
Yeah, but then I have questions like, how did wolves get to an island?
So there are actually in... Up in the Vancouver area, there's an island off the coast of Washington where there are wolves that swim, and their main diet is fish, and they actually swim in the ocean to catch the fish.
Okay, I have a vague memory of this. Very vague.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they're different enough from other wolves in the area that they're thinking that it's going to become its own species one day.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like, obviously not in the next 5 to 10 years, but, like, yeah, over a period of a very long amount of time.
Right, but they have, like, fairly distinct genetics, and they've even found, you know, like, they prefer their own little group. Like, they'll breed within their group, and then even if another wolf kind of shows up, they'll be friendly enough to it, so long as it doesn't, you know, break wolf code. But they don't ever really tend to breed with wolves outside the group.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to tell you, there's a podcast episode that I listened to on, I think it's called This Is Love, or it's like Criminal Sister podcast. And they talked about like the wolves of Yellowstone and the love story of like two of these main wolves. And like, I had so many feelings when I was listening to it. Because, like, two of them kind of escaped out of the park, and the male was killed by poachers, but the female was pregnant and was brought back to the park, and then, like, matched up with this, like, super tiny little male wolf who ended up basically parenting and establishing his own, like, as the dominant wolf pack. And then his, like, foster child...
Mm-hmm.
Left and joined up with another pack within the park because they've got different packs.
Right.
And came back, but they're like constantly challenging each other for territory. And when he realized that the wolf that he was challenging was his like father, he fake charged him so that the older wolf could save face.
Aww.
And like the park ranger or something watched this and was like, this never happens. What is happening? But it was, like, all about how this animal took in this other animal's puppies and, like, played with them and brought them food and, like, raised them.
Aww. Yeah, and that's not the standard. A lot of times if it's, you know, if it's sired by another...
You kill it.
Yep.
Yeah, no. It was great. It was a really super great story. So I was, like, so invested. It made me feel like I was watching a Disney movie.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't tragically, like, the old wolf dies because they don't live very long. So, right. Like, 15 or 20 years in, he's out. But it was like, oh, I feel like I'm watching something with Balto in it or something. Yeah, it's within you. Like, it was really good. Right. So, anyway. There is also some speculation, and this one is very, like, if science is trying to come in and reason what is up, this is kind of the explanation, but in my opinion, not a very good one. So there is speculation that it might be really a person with Hunter syndrome.
Yeah, so I came across this too, and this one made me mad because I looked up Hunter syndrome and I looked up what it makes people look like, and it doesn't make them look like when hypertrichosis is something that exists, which is the one that literally causes hair all over your body, why the fuck would you be like, oh, we think it's Hunter syndrome, which doesn't make a person look like a wolf?
No. So the only thing that I could think was they picked Hunter syndrome because it's a genetic disorder that basically makes your bones enlarge. So it could, I guess, explain the big wolf head. It also makes the joints stiffen and there's restricted growth. But I was like, that does not make any sense because
that doesn't line up with anything else about the wolver. Because, like, the wolver even talks about being, like, lithe and quick.
Yeah, super fast, right?
Yeah.
And man-sized.
Yeah.
So it does and not... Then,
like, and I was reading people with Hunter syndrome don't usually live past their 30s.
Right. And then they have, like, very limited mobility.
Mm-hmm.
They're very stiff. They're definitely not fast, and they're not covered in hair. So,
right. It just seemed like the dumbest thing to come up with. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, and then when I was looking at pictures of it, I could not in my brain connect how someone with Hunter syndrome could be mistaken for having a wolf head because, folks, they don't look anything.
They don't look wolf-like at all. Right, like, there's obviously something there, but it's not like, oh, that person's a wolf.
No. You're just like, something's a little different here.
Right, it's not even, like, extreme. That was the thing. I looked at the pictures and I was expecting to see, you know, you have the people who have, I can't think of the actual disease name, but they have the disease that makes their legs and hands look like elephant feet.
Yes.
I was expecting something like that, like extreme. And then I looked at images and I was just like, oh.
Yeah. So no. I did not particularly care for that, especially when you, again, think about the other genetic anomalies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think hypertrichosis seems way more likely, especially when hypertrichosis is also genetically linked. I mean, you have entire families with it.
So I honestly thought that it would be hypertrichosis. I was very surprised to find that it wasn't.
Right.
Hello. Why? Why didn't you go there at all? But I know that that tends to be something that's, like, more common in, I think, Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So... okay, but also dumb. No.
Right.
Horrible right. explanation, scientist.
Terrible.
Don't try. Yeah.
Again, I think this falls into the, like, I wish I could just be somebody from back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. I don't know exactly when Susan came up with this idea. But you could just say whatever the fuck you wanted. And people were like, oh, okay. You just had, like, a MD, PhD, anything after your name. And they were like, yeah, all right. Yeah, we accept that.
I have no evidence, but I feel like this is the way.
Yes.
Stupid.
I think it's this one. It doesn't match up with anything, but this is it.
Dumb. Dumb, Susan. No.
No, Susan. Bad.
In pop culture, you do see the wolver make appearances. Like in the 2018 video game God of War, which I could never get into.
Oh, same. I have it. It came, like, free download with my PlayStation, and I just... nope.
I think many, many moons ago, I played the very first God of War game and was just like, not impressed.
And I've always had trouble getting into Skyrim as well, because I played one of the old versions of it, and I just remember I was able to play it on my computer without an internet connection because it was back in the day when you could play things without the internet. I was on a car trip, and I was trying to, I had some quest where I had to find a fucking chicken, and I could not find the fucking chicken, and, like, everybody in the car was just like, have you found the chicken?
You're like, no. No. So I still have not.
It just tainted me on that game.
Yeah, you know, I think that my favorite game like this is Fable.
Yes, I love Fable.
Yeah, because it's nice.
I think they're supposed to be coming out with a new one, which I'm pretty excited about.
I did play Gears of War the other day at Zach's house, and it brought up a lot of anxiety that mm-hmm. I had forgotten that I had.
Mm-hmm. I can't do any of those, like, realistic shooting games. I can do, like, Borderlands because it's just over the top. But even then, I have to be in the mood for it. Like, normally I'm like, Stardew Valley.
Well, I was just like, I would like to play Halo, please. And he was like, I don't have that game. Halo is for squares. He didn't say that, but, like, that was basically the game. So I was like, I can't remember if I have it or if it's something that I lost in the separation. So I don't know if I actually have that or not. So you do see the Wolver kind of make an appearance in video games, but they are not anything like the folklore figure.
Right.
In the video games, they are like a powerful nemesis, a weird wolf-like beast who is super strong and fast. They go berserk, and they are really difficult to get away from.
It drives me nuts how often video games do that. It's like, I understand being inspired by, but you didn't get it anywhere close to right.
Well, and I want a video game just like one time to show me the sweet thing of folklore instead of me constantly being like super stressed out by your creepy wolf monster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want, like...
It also really bothers me because, like, I know the real stories, and so if you're having me kill something called a wolver, like, it's upsetting to me because I'm like, okay, what has this society done that the wolvers are constantly angry?
Right.
I think we might be the bad guys.
No kidding. So that's the, I guess, pop culture representation of the wolver, and I am honestly not a fan.
Not a fan. Do not care for it. I will say I am a fan of Jesse Saxby, which I believe you read the quote from earlier, and I do want to read more of their book. I don't know if Jesse is it's a kind of androgynous name.
I think that's a safe pronoun use.
Yeah. Run into many men and many women named Jesse. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the hard thing about the wolvers is that while they are fascinating and I love them and they're beautiful, there's not a lot of information written about them.
No.
So this is yet another one that we run into where it's obvious, like, one person wrote some info about it and then everybody else just copy and pasted it.
Yes.
I was trying so hard to find, like, some unique information. There's just so little.
One of my questions was basically, like, where did this come from and when did they start to appear in folklore? And I could not find that answer.
Right. Yeah, I didn't have a start. I did have an end of that there were reportedly sightings up until the, like, early 20th century. But then there's no information on that sighting. Like, nobody gives any information about
what they were doing.
Sighting was. Yeah. Right. Which feels like that might be another one where people are just copying it. Like, was there really a sighting in the early 20th century? Or did somebody say it one time somewhere and then now everybody just copy and paste that information? See, again, I miss the days of the old internet when it wasn't just...
copy and pasting everything?
Yes. I did find a few interesting things where people were saying that, like, seeing a wolver was a bad omen, but that just seemed so counter to everything else that we read about the wolvers that I don't agree. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either. I think that they just seem, like, so benevolent, I don't understand how it could be a bad omen.
A bad omen at all. Yeah. Another one I ran into that was related to the wolvers, but slightly different, was the Irish... Faolad, F-A-O-L-A-D-H. So this was similar to the wolver, but slightly different. This one actually looked kind of more dog-like, more wolf-like, and they apparently helped fight in battle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, so the God, I really wish I knew how to pronounce this. The Irish werewolf is what we're going to go with. is more similar to the traditional werewolf stories of it actually being a man or a woman that shapeshifts into a wolf, but instead of going into, like, a bloodlust, it goes into battle with you. Like, it knows, it's a guardian. It knows who to kill and fight.
Okay, that's handy as shit.
Right? Which is interesting, because I remember when I told you I had that dream a while back about the aliens were invading, and I went in this witch coven, and we all did a ritual so we could turn into wolves and fight the aliens?
Yes.
Yeah. So it makes me think of this.
I like it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There actually seems to be some more information about the Folud. We might actually have to do an episode on them instead of just briefly mentioning them, because I wasn't researching them, I just came across them. But there does seem to be more information on them, because there's actual names and dates and those type of things.
Of, like, people who experienced them.
Yeah.
So that was the Wolvern.
That was the Wolvern! Now that we've gone off the rails for a little while. So, yes. Beautiful. I love it. The Shetland Islands. Gorgeous. Magical. Lovely. So much nicer than the terrifying Orkney Islands.
Which, to be honest, the do Nuklevi. Give me just a little bit of, like, drama or something. I don't know.
Right? Right? I want to visit them to say that I have. But if I were to move, I would not be moving to the Orkney Islands. I'm sorry, Orkney Islands. Please don't hate us. I'm sure you're very lovely people, but your mythology is terrifying.
That is true. That is 100% true.
All right, so we are super excited to be back with season 2. If you have not already, please follow us on Facebook. We would love it if you followed us there. We post funny memes. We post when a new episode is released. It's the best place to stay up to date on what we're doing and what we're up to.
I guess we'll just say welcome back. Thanks for listening, and don't piss off a wolver.
I like it. It's perfect. Okay.